Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks. We're two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my elongated friend, Frank. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm really long.
You're really long.
Long, man.
You're a long man. You're a long man.
Ah.
All right.
I'm doing all right. What you drinking there, buddy?
I am drinking Henry's Hard Soda made with cane sugar containing alcohol. It is the hard orange flavor.
Ooh, hard orange. I never had hard orange soda before. It's root beer, ginger ale.
Just like orange soda. Actually, you know how some of them don't really taste like their soda counterparts? That taste just like orange soda.
So what's the alcohol content of this?
I don't know, but I'm sick, so I don't know if you want to touch my bottle.
I'm not gonna take a sip from it. 4.2.
Yeah. It's all right.
Yeah,
it's a thing. It's pretty good. My friend brought them over a couple weeks ago, and that last one has just been sitting in my fridge, so I thought I would have it and drink something that is not beer on this show. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking beer on this show.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I know. Well, we are, at this point, fully into October. It is mid-October.
Hooray.
So, Samuel Adams Oktoberfest is here, and I'm enjoying it. You know, I feel like we should drink Pumpkinhead.
While we can. Yeah, soon. Absolutely. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Next time.
Perhaps next time.
Next year. So, what's happening?
Well, in the news, recently, Warner Brothers announced that Suicide Squad was getting a extended cut. Interestingly, not a director's cut, but an extended cut.
Yeah.
You notice the fine language that they use sometimes.
Yeah.
So when Suicide Squad came out, David Ayer, the director, came out and said, "We will not be making a director's cut like they did for the Batman v Superman." I don't know why David Ayer sounds like this. You know, we will not be using this. We will not be using that.
Uh-huh.
So he said, no, this is the vision of the film that I wanted to make. I will not be releasing any kind of extended or director's cut. Lo and behold, a few weeks later, WB's like, guess what's coming your way? An extended cut of Suicide Squad with 12 to 13 minutes of extra footage.
I thought you said there wasn't going to be a director's cut. The director had nothing to do with this.
We did it on our own without his knowledge and possibly consent.
Don't you love it when studios just do this stuff?
Right, exactly. So this got me thinking about like movies that do have good extended cuts, and because I mean I am not opposed to extended or director's cuts.
Me either.
Most of the time, actually, that most of them don't actually add much to the film.
That's
like
true.
My example is sometimes like Roland Emmerich's The Patriot has a director's cut. It doesn't really add anything. I couldn't even tell you what was put in.
Yeah, that's often the case, isn't it?
Sam Raimi's Spider-Man films have
Spider-Man 2.1 has like 6 minutes of extra footage.
Right, it's an unnecessary amount of footage.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times they're unnecessary, but a lot of times, some of the times I should say, they actually do add quite a bit to the film.
That's true.
So I was thinking about what are some of my favorites and maybe whatever you're the favorites. So what is one of your favorites?
One of my favorites has to be Superman 2, the Donner Cut, the Richard Donner Cut.
Oh, the Richard Donner Cut. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's an interesting one because a lot of the footage that is added in is not...
Not actual...
It's not actually from Richard Donner's Superman. It's test footage from Chris Reeve and Margot Kidder.
Margot Kidder,
What car? Margot Robbie, and I knew that was right. Yeah. Margot Kidder, there's some footage from Superman 1 reused
that's
over
right,
again.
That's right.
So, but that was made because Superman 1 and 2 were being made as one film that was going to be split into two films because the script was so long.
Yeah, basically, the producers wanted to pull a fast one on the actors, and so they told them they were shooting one movie, but they had every intention of releasing it as two movies, and they were just going to pay everybody once.
That is terrible.
The producers of the Superman films are just terrible crooks.
Yeah.
But so they did this, and they were found out. And actually, because of this, there's like a SAG rule now that's not allowed anymore.
Right.
Because of this incident. But they were found out before they finished, so they were able to get enough footage to make Superman 1, Superman the movie, but they didn't finish making Superman 2.
Right.
So by the time they wanted to finish it, they had a falling out with director Richard Donner, so he left, and Richard Lester came in to finish
that's
Superman
right.
2. So the movie that
famed
was really...
director Richard Lester.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he directed all the Beatles movies. He did the
Three Musketeers.
Three Musketeers. Movie, yeah.
Three Musketeers, yeah.
So he did quite a few big movies. But by the time they released it, they had Dick Lester come in. So in like 2006 or so, 5 maybe, Dick Donner...
it was about the same time the Superman Returns came out.
It was, yeah, and all the Blu-ray releases happened and everything. Dick Donner came, was offered a chance to recut Superman 2.
Right.
The way he would have liked to. So he took some, reused a little bit of footage from Superman 1 and took screen tests and other test footage and stuff and built this very different ending to Superman 2, which was apparently his original vision.
Mm-hmm.
So... it's interesting. It's a good cut. I like it quite a bit. It's a very interesting extended cut. I like both versions, but I like the.
Do you like Superman spinning around the world to save everyone in the first one or the second one better?
I don't like it in either.
If you had to choose,
if I had to pick, I would go with the first one because in the first one there is no one's toothpaste going back in the tube.
Sure. Okay. Good. I'm glad that happened.
Perry
White's
the
reason.
Perry White toothpaste went back in his toothpaste tube.
I recall. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the second one, though, it's less selfish.
It's less selfish, but it's just stupid either way. It's just silly.
Also, in the when he spins it back in the first one, he does not save the missile heading to Jersey. So Jersey actually gets destroyed, and nobody talks about it.
No one misses Jersey, let's be honest.
Yeah, well, everything is legal in New Jersey. That's a very, very good one. This was not the first on my list, but I will do it in comparison. Okay. I like the director's extended cut of Superman the movie.
Okay, yeah. That's one of those that I don't really remember. I've seen that so many times that I don't remember what's in the extended cut and which.
There isn't much that's different, really, in the grand scheme. The biggest thing that I always remember is that when Superman, after Lex Luthor is like, "Hey, Superman, I'm in your ear right now." And every other dog in Metropolis.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm Lex Luthor. he has Superman go up against a series of tests.
Oh, right. That's not in the original.
And no. So the machine gun bullets and freezing him and all that stuff was cut out from the original film. I don't know why either, because it's pretty awesome.
It is actually pretty awesome. Yeah. And you can't even say it's too cheesy, because like, the whole movie is cheesy. So it's not that.
Arguably, it's also one of the least cheesy things about that movie. Boom. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, so I'm not... Oh, bye, cat. Okay.
Goodbye.
You're no longer my podcatting cat. Mm. So I remember seeing... I think I saw that one first, and then...
The director's... the extended.
Yeah, I remember having the VHS, which is actually in that box right over there.
Oh.
I remember holding the VHS... and seeing it with my brother and being like, never before seen footage. And we're like, wow, we've never seen it without the new footage. We'll never know. And then I did afterwards, but I always remember seeing those scenes being like, oh, this was very, very cool.
That is cool. That is cool. Yeah, that's a good pick. That's a good pick. For my next trick, I have another superhero movie. Now, to be clear, this is still not a great movie, but it's just better.
Daredevil.
Yes.
Yeah. Yay. Yes.
The director's cut is so much better.
Yeah.
So, and like, again, still a pretty bad movie, but way better by comparison.
I think it's not a great movie in comparison to maybe a lot of other superhero movies that have come before it, but it's one of those movies that if it came out like 5 or 6 years earlier, it would have been great.
Yeah, it would have been considered like the best superhero movie.
But it's post Spider-Man 2.
That's the problem.
And that's really what hurts it.
Yeah, wow, it's post Spider-Man 2. I always remember that it's post Spider-Man, but I forget that it's post
Spider-Man 2. Because Spider-Man 2 was 2003.
Spider-Man 2 was 2004.
Then it's same.
Same year?
Then it's same year.
Okay.
Because Daredevil's also 2004. Okay. I think I will use my lookup while you tell me about what's different about the director's cut.
Well, the director's cut has a lot less, if I'm not mistaken, it's got more action and less of the bad, or not less of the bad dialogue, but it makes up for the bad dialogue with more action scenes and more effects sequences that were cut at a certain point.
There's also the whole Matt Murdock actually being a lawyer thing that got cut out.
You're right. I forgot. Oh my god, yeah. Well, I mean, it was obvious that the studio
Daredevil was 2003, so it's
it's before
Spider-Man 2.
Okay,
yeah.
I mean, it's pretty obvious that there was some studio meddling going on there.
Oh yes.
And they decided that him being a lawyer and other stuff wasn't as important. So they just hacked the movie to pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot better when you watch the full film as it was intended.
Sure.
But still got its problems.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it does.
Still a cheese ball fest.
Yeah.
But you know, what can you do? What can you do?
I don't know.
Fun to watch it now, you know, knowing like, okay, it's a good, like, I want to watch a bad movie and have a good time.
Yeah, there are arguably a lot worse movies out there.
But it's not so bad that it's frustrating to watch.
Yes, that's true. It's just bad enough that you can still sit through it and enjoy.
Have a good time.
Some bits of it.
I put it this way: if you and I were like, "Hey, you know, like we have nothing to do, like let's hang out, let's watch a movie, let's get a pizza and a movie," that would be one of the movies I'd be like, "Do you want to watch a bad movie? Like let's watch Daredevil.
Let's watch Daredevil
and have pizza and beer and laugh at it."
That's absolutely true, because it's a movie you could talk over and laugh at. Yeah. And not feel like you missed anything.
Right.
If you sat down and be like, "Hey, let's have pizza and beer and let's watch Netflix on Daredevil," we'd be like, "Shh,
yeah, yeah, yeah."
He's talking right.
Right.
Now.
The good Daredevil. Right.
Yeah.
But it's like that time we did that with Fantastic Four.
Did I say watch Netflix on Daredevil?
You did, but it doesn't matter. That time that we
4.2% alcohol.
It's working. That and the cough syrup.
Yeah, it's just working.
Right to your head.
Whoopee.
We did that with the new Fantastic Four movie a few months ago. Remember watching it?
Oh, yes.
And that was like depressing.
But Daredevil is a much better movie than that.
Right.
For sure.
Daredevil you can watch and enjoy.
Yeah.
So, what would your second pick be?
I'm going to put them together since they're separate films, but same world. The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit films.
Okay.
The extended cuts I enjoy quite a bit. Because that's a fine example, particularly when it comes to Lord of the Rings, of films that were very highly praised, very well regarded, very much loved, and then the extended cuts came out and were like, hey, we had a lot of extra footage that has to actually do with the core of the story that will only elevate the material even further. Here it is. Here's an extra like hour of footage most of the time, and it does, and it's really meant for fans who are like, I want to know more, I want to live in this world a little bit longer. Here it is. The Hobbit was interesting in that way, where it was supposed to be two films.
Yeah, that's right.
It was only supposed to be two films, and they shot so much extra footage that they had enough to make a whole other movie. Mm-hmm. Arguably, people say that, yeah, well, maybe you made three really long, dull movies. I disagree, because I love that world, but I understand why people think that.
Yeah.
Certainly. But if you go back and watch those extended editions, there's also tons of material that just elevates that world that you can enjoy and live in and soak in. It's not like done in an hour and a half.
Totally.
And so, and I know you're not, we've talked about this before, so you're not big Lord of the Rings or Hobbit guy.
No,
so
but I saw the first Hobbit film.
Yeah.
And I saw the first... I saw The Fellowship, and I saw the first Hobbit film.
Both the least action-packed of either of them.
Probably one of the reasons contributing to my need to give it my best shot.
I think Hobbit's actually more action-packed than Lord of the Rings
is.
It's a little more focused on the action than the story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A lot of that has to do with the pre-production problems that they were having, and Guillermo del Toro was supposed to direct and dropped out, and Peter Jackson came in at last second to start making it, and like... All this different stuff from behind the scenes. So if you would know that watching those films, then they're actually quite miraculous, like what Peter Jackson was able to pull off, like making shots up like in the morning and filming in the afternoon is pretty miraculous. Considering the high level, I mean, like, you could do that in some other films, but considering the high level special effects and setups, it's pretty remarkable. Pretty remarkable film making, but I won't harp on them for too long. So what else you got?
Did you ever see the movie Brazil?
No, actually, with Jonathan Pryce, right?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I've never seen it.
It's Terry Gilliam. Terry Gilliam.
It's Blade Runner for South America.
Kinda, yeah. Sure. So it's a dystopian film. It's Terry Gilliam, so it's got funny moments, right? He was in Monty Python. Like, it's right. Got comedy to it, but it's not... overall, it's kind of a tragedy. So the...
Much like Terry Gilliam's life.
Kind of. Yeah. But the studio made him make the theatrical cut have a happy ending. They forced a happy ending.
What?
They forced a happy ending on it. The fans now call it the Love Conquers All ending. And that just didn't sit well with people because it was so obviously not the vision of this movie. Like, it wasn't going in that direction at all. And then it's sort of like, it's very unsatisfying when it ends with a happy ending.
Sure.
So the extended cut is almost an extra hour longer.
Oh my God.
And it's over, it's like 2.5 hours long. And it does not have a happy ending. It ends with
the original Brazil is only an hour and a half.
Something like that, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. They added like an extra 50 minutes or something to make it.
What?
Yeah. And so, yeah, it has, but it has the ending it was meant to have, and it's a much more satisfying ending. I actually watched them both, like back to back, not one sitting, sure. But in a couple of them, like the same week.
Okay.
Once, where a friend let me borrow his 2-disc DVD set.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, why did you watch so much Brazil?
I was just curious to see the ending because we were having this conversation. He was like, here's an example of where, you know, they ruined it. And so I watched both of them just sort of as an experiment. Huh. And it was so, like, an hour difference and a way different ending made all the difference.
You like the extended cut better?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's better.
My next one is a Stanley Kubrick film. You might know it as The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
Has a very, very small little additions I don't want to really want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it, but there's like little inserts of things that don't really add much overall to the story. They really only add time to the creep factor of it, but like some of them are kind of like weird and grotesque, and it's enough that I really enjoy like the extra added footage. For no apparent reason, there is something on it that actually I wish was added and wasn't.
Mm.
So have you've seen The Shining, right?
I actually have not.
So you know what happens in The Shining, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. So at the end, Jack is frozen outside, and his wife and his son have escaped in the little snowmobile down to go down the mountain. And then it shows like a picture of Jack at this old party, and it's like, in 1921, you've been here the whole time, or whatever. And that's the end of the movie. And that's the end of the movie. There was a scene shot that has never been put in, and I'm really hoping that one day they will, that the owner of the hotel, the manager of the hotel, goes to see Mrs. Torrance and Danny in the hospital. Okay. So it's a little bit of closure for the audience. Like, here they are. They're okay. They made it down the mountain okay. And like all this stuff, you know, oh, I guess he just went crazy like some of the other caretakers. And as he's walking away after visiting them, he starts throwing a tennis ball up and down. And now that tennis ball is important because you see it twice in the film.
Yep.
Once you see it when Jack is throwing it up against like a wall when he's thinking or whatever, and he's kind of playing spud with himself. The second is it is rolled to Danny in the middle of a hall out of nowhere.
Okay.
Like he's playing and a ball appears and just rolls into his hand in nowhere. So the implication is that this guy was actually behind the whole thing makes him go crazy, and it's how he like Jack gets out of this place and like this and goes to this. And so there's like some bigger mystery beyond like, it's a hotel that's creepy.
Right, right.
And so I really like that. Not necessarily for but just a bit of an explanation for why the hotel is haunted or creepy or this or that or the other thing. It's really, it's cool. And so it adds an implication that every time, like, a ghost appears or whatever, it's not really a ghost. It's like these people who have come to, like, freak out this family, which to me is creepier than a haunted hotel. Like,
yeah.
People would go through the great lengths to freak out this family and make him go crazy.
Right.
Is, to me, way scarier than just a haunted hotel.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's way scarier.
Yeah. What's your next one?
It's creepier. My next one, ever seen Amadeus?
Amadeus.
Yeah.
Yes, I have. Yeah. So you could just take out a few of the notes.
Too many notes. Just take out a few.
And in which notes did your majesty have in mind? Anyway, continue. Sorry.
Such a great movie. I haven't seen it in a long time. I had only seen the theatrical cut for a long time, and then our mutual friend Andrew showed me the director's cut.
I'm familiar with this Andrew you speak of.
You know this gentleman. The director's cut, which is like an extra half hour longer or so.
Yeah, it was already long to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. It's already like, I think, over 2 hours. And then there's like an extra half hour there. So, yeah, it's quite a bit longer, and it adds more of the, just people who don't know, it's the story of Mozart and his rivalry with the other composer, Salieri. And so this, it's told from the point of view of Salieri, kind of reflecting back on his rivalry with Mozart. And so this adds more of Mozart's love story with his wife and more of his rivalry with Salieri, and kind of adds a darker edge to things. It makes things more intense of the rivalry between the two of them and how much Salieri hated him.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Great movie.
My next one.
Your next one.
Watchmen, the director's cut.
You know, I never did see the one with the Tales of the Black Freighter.
That is the ultimate cut.
The ultimate cut.
There are three cuts to Watchmen.
Three cuts.
Shall do it. Three turns. Shall do it. There is the cut that was, you know, released in the theaters.
Right.
There was the director's cut, and then there's the, which is all the extra scenes, and then there's the ultimate cut, which is the Tales of the Black Freighter cartoon.
Yep.
That is the adaptation of the comic from the story that is inserted into the places, into the film.
Right.
So that's the most complete version, but I very much dislike Tales from the Black Freighter in Watchmen, and like, so I don't like that cut of the movie, just because I understand, like, Tales of the Black Freighter, it's an allegory for the things that are happening in the book. It's a story inside a story, blah blah blah. Don't care. You're done. You're boring. You're boring me. Don't care.
It is a little boring. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even when you're reading it, it's
sort of like such a drag. It's okay. You're a pirate.
There's a whole
it's
chapter terrible. About pirates now.
Whatever. Right. So, but the regular cut for Watchmen is very good, but the ultimate cut, which it's just a Zack Snyder thing. He's just going to add extra scenes to the movies, whether he needs them or not. but it is, I think, like the Lord of the Rings or those extended cuts, it really just adds more flavor to the world. It doesn't, you know, there's nothing. The original cut of Watchmen, there's nothing that's left unturned or unexplored. There's no plot hole or anything like that. It's all succinct, just adds more to your overall enjoyment of a very dark and serious world.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've only ever seen the theatrical cut.
I might have the director's cut if you ever want to borrow it.
Yeah, I might borrow it one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always...
7 hours, sure.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. I've always wanted to check it out. So, I shall check it out. I'll give it my best shot, you might even say.
Uh-huh.
My next choice is Terminator 2, Judgment Day, the extended cut.
Sure. I don't remember what's different in this one.
So, there's a bunch of stuff. It's like probably 15 or 20 minutes. It's not like a whole lot, but it's a good chunk.
Sure.
Probably the most significant thing, if you've seen the extended cut?
I probably have.
So there's the sequence where Sarah Connor is remembering herself being back in her cell, and Kyle Reese shows up and gives her like a pep talk, on your feet, soldier, all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That never should have been cut, and it's actually now one of the most famous lines from that movie. So only from the theatrical.
Leave it to Terminator fans to turn the extended cut into the better version.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is. Yeah, I really do think
it's the more memorable lines.
There's some really cool Arnold moments, too, and, like, you know.
Just, you mean every moment?
Yeah. I mean, but I mean, like, there's some really cool fight scenes that that are really, really cool.
Sometimes it's just simple. Sometimes
did you know that Hasta La Vista Baby was from the... No, I'm kidding.
No, it's definitely not. Sometimes it's just the... sometimes it's just time constraints, because the longer the movie is, the less a movie theater can show it.
Sure.
And so they make less money with the longer the film.
And that's often why things get cut, because they want to keep it at 90 minutes or 2 hours.
Exactly.
Or, you know, like keep it at a certain
amount.
Although lately blockbusters, you know, they don't seem to be caring, and they're just getting, you know, closer and closer to 2.5-3 hours.
Yeah.
Over the last
Few
years.
But in some ways is good, in some ways is bad, because sometimes you do need somebody to be there and, like, you know, it's just a little too long. Mm-hmm, you can cut here, and here, anywhere. Yeah. And you can still have yourself a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
That is not the case in every film, which is my last pick.
Okay.
Which is Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. It's not my favorite film, but I will say the director's cut makes a whole lot of sense in that film. And that it really... That is a film that somebody should not have said, you know, it's a little too long, you need to cut here, because those things that you cut are the plot.
Oh.
And the plot, arguably, is one of the most essential parts of any film.
Probably something you don't want to cut. Yeah. Yeah.
And so there's just a lot of stuff that that left your head scratching at the end of the film that you went, oh, okay, so I can still have a righteous anger about some things, but not about all things. Gotcha.
So, I admittedly have not gotten a chance to watch it yet.
Oh, really?
And I have it, but it's partly because I'm still so conflicted about this movie that I'm like, do I really want to put myself through this again and, like, be pacing around my house angry for 3 days again? And, like, have my wife just be sort of like, it's okay, honey, it's all right. I know it's a movie, but... Ah!
Yeah. We don't have kids to obsess about yet, so I have to obsess about this.
I mean, I'm exaggerating, but, you know, it is just like, I know I'm going to be frustrated when I watch it again.
Yeah, but I mean, there are some things in it that clear up the frustration, and I think that that's the important thing to watch for, even when it comes to simple characterizations or plot motivations or character motivations and plot points and stuff like that. So I still do think it's worth a watch. I don't think you're going to be very much less angry, because I know why you're angry about that film. And it's not really the plot that you're angry about. But I think it will at least put you at ease for some other things.
All right. All right, fair enough. All right,
good stuff.
Good chat.
Yeah.
Good chat. Good show.
Good show. Good show.
So, it's very, very important to us that you leave us some iTunes reviews.
Oh, so very important.
Guys, it's like so important. You don't even understand. You don't even understand. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know why I'm doing I'm doing this.
You're trying to be me.
I think so.
I do the fun accents on this show.
That's your thing.
Yeah.
That's your thing.
No, God, dude. Tell them about the iTunes store.
Oh, the iTunes store.
Yeah.
So listen, you want to go to iTunes store. You want to look up the Beer with Geeks. It's very easy. Just type in beer and then type in wit and then type in geeks.
Was that a wit with a W-I-T or a W-I-T-H?
Exactly. And then you... Yeah. So, but seriously, the iTunes reviews are actually super helpful and help us get discovered and help us rise to the top of the iTunes charts.
Let people discover us, like Columbus discovered America this previous Columbus Day.
Let's not talk about that. It's Indigenous Podcast, or I don't know. please leave us ratings and reviews. That would be super, super helpful. Do it right now. If you're listening right now, pull over in a car. Stop working at work.
Stop on that bridge.
Stop what you're doing.
Stop on that bridge.
I don't care. I don't care if there's an 18-wheeler behind you. You got to pull over. And they'll understand you're leaving a Beer with Geeks review. And if they don't understand, then tell them to listen so they will understand.
That's right.
So that would be very helpful. Beerwithgeeks.com, beerwithgeeks.gmail.com, beerwithgeeks on Twitter and on Facebook. Find us also on thoughtbubbleaudio.com, where you'll find Supergirl TV Talk. You know, the Supergirl series just came back for season 2 on the CW this time. We covered it this past week. So check out our premiere episode. And check out The Marketers Next Door, where I talk about social media, Facebook and Twitter and everything else, and how it has to do with marketing. I do that every couple weeks with my wife, Marissa. So check that out as well.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
All right. Good stuff. Good talk.
All right. Well, until next time.
Cheers.